Today on From His Heart, Pastor Jeff Shreve will help us discover what home sweet home is supposed to be.
God has a lot to say about the home. He has lots to say about this is what I designed it to be, and this is how it can be a place of love and joy and peace, a place where you want to go, a place where you enjoy being, a place that is truly a safe place, a refuge place. I want to share with you three encouragements so that you can experience love and joy and peace at home, and home can once again become a slice of heaven.
Is your home a place where peace is found? Or is your home a war zone to be avoided at all costs for fear of further casualties? Well, this is From His Heart with Pastor Jeff Shreve, where today, if that latter scenario describes you, you're going to learn how to patch up the wounds, start healing the process, and discover how you can have a safe, peaceful, joyful home sweet home, guaranteed. That's right, guaranteed. The message is called Home Sweet Home, for Pastor Jeff's series, Built to Last, How to Build a Successful Marriage and Family. Now remember, if you missed any of the broadcasts from this series this month, you can catch up online anytime at fromhisheart.org. Right now, it's time to learn to live together under one roof without the anger and retaliation by following the Lord's instruction. Open your Bible to 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's Pastor Jeff to begin the message, Home, Sweet Home.
If you have your Bible, please turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We want to talk in our series on marriage and family called Built to Last. We want to talk about home sweet home. Now, when I was a kid growing up, I was born in 1962. I know it's shocking to many of you because you thought it was like 82, but no, it's 1962. And so I grew up in the 60s. And the early 70s. That was my childhood. Now, anybody knows that grew up at that time period that we had like five channels on television. You had ABC, NBC, CBS, and a couple of UHF stations. And then if you were desperate beyond desperation, you watched public television. I mean, it was just, so five or six channels, that's all you had. And we didn't have any kind of games, electronic games. And so as a kid, you spent a lot of time outside, because there wasn't just a ton to do inside. And so you spend a lot of time, I would be outside a lot, came from a big family, I'm the fifth of six kids, and so go out, you always had playmates and people on the street. And one of the things I remember playing a lot of, tag. And we would play variations of tag, and one of the variations of tag was freeze tag. Freeze tag was really fun because the person that was it would touch somebody, and then they would be frozen, and the others would have to touch them before they got caught so they could unfreeze them. But the thing about tag was when you played, you always set up what's going to be home. What is home base? Because home base is critical in tag, because when you're touching home, nobody can get you out. Because that's a safe place, that's a safe zone, that's refuge. And so if you're being chased by the it person and you touch home, then they can't get you out. And you know, that's such a vivid picture, and it sets it in the minds of kids that what's home supposed to be? Home's supposed to be a safe place, a good place, a refuge. But for so many people, home's not like that. It's not like that. You know, God has set it up in His plan and His design. Home is supposed to be a slice of heaven. Home, when He set up the marriage and the family unit, He said this is supposed to be, He calls it the grace of life in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Marriage and family and children, that's the grace of life. It's supposed to be a wonderful thing. It's supposed to be a place where there's love and there's joy and there's peace. You know, out in the world, out when you go to school, when you go to work, that's where you slay dragons. That's where you fight. That's where you face the opposition. But then you come home, and that's where you can rest, and that's where you can recharge, and that's where you can laugh and have joy. But so often it's not like that. So often it's not a slice of heaven, it's an outpost of hell. One man told me just recently, He was talking about his first marriage that failed. He said, I hated to come home. Hated to come home. Why? Because I was going to come home to screaming and yelling and nagging, and I just as soon stay at work. Debbie and I lived across the street some years ago from a family, and their son, he was about 8, he would always be on the street, just always on the street. And I mean, it would be into the night. He'd still be as dark outside. He's still on the street. And I never understood. It's like, that kid's never in his house. He's always on the street. And then I found out about his house, and his house was turmoil. And his house was yelling and screaming between mom and dad and daughter. And he couldn't take that. And so he just like, I don't want to hear all that. I don't want to be around that. It's just so much turmoil. It just is so unpleasant. I'm just going to be outside where it's safe. That's sad, because home's supposed to be a safe place. So God has a lot to say about the home. He has lots to say about this is what I designed it to be, and this is how it can be a place of love and joy and peace, a place where you want to go, a place where you enjoy being, a place that is truly a safe place, a refuge place. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Lord talks about marriage. 1 Peter, the book of 1 Peter, is written to Christians who are experiencing difficulties and struggles and hardships. And it's an encouragement from the Apostle Peter to keep walking with God, keep trusting Him. Yeah, you're suffering a little bit, but it's necessary. God is using that. But keep being an example of the Lord Jesus Christ, an example to lost people of what it really means to be a Christian. And he talks about, in 1 Peter, talks about how you and I are supposed to walk in terms of the government and how we're supposed to live in that sphere. And then he talks about in terms of our job relationships and in terms of master-slave, he uses that, and how you're supposed to be a good slave if you're in that situation. And then he talks about marriage. And he talks about how wives can win their husbands who are disobedient to the word, even without a word, just by their chaste and respectful behavior. He gives, in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 6, he gives 6 verses about how a wife is to be to her husband. He gives 1 verse, verse 7, about how a husband is to be to his wife. Somebody said, why 6 verses for the wife and why 1 for the husband? Women just are more verbal. That's one of the commentaries I read. You know, it's just succinct to a man. But he talks about this is how you do marriage and family. And then verse 8, he says this, to sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days refrain his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. And let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. I want to share with you 3 encouragements from 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 8 through 12, 3 encouragements so that you can experience love and joy and peace at home, and home can once again become a slice of heaven. Now, these are all things that you, by God's power, can do. Do you remember when a couple weeks ago I had everybody lock their fingers and make a little circle? You remember that? And I said that the only person you can change is the person in the circle. Well, we're working today on the person in the circle. We're working on you, just like that old ad, only you can prevent forest fires. It seems like it's a lot of pressure. That it's only you that can do that. But you have to do your part. So in the home situation, let's work on you. And let's talk about what you can do by God's grace, by God's power, to make a difference at home, to make home a place where it truly is sweet. Encouragement number 1, you can develop a godly attitude. A godly attitude. Look at verse 8 again. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit. He names 5 things, 5 attitudes that you can have, that I can have, that are attitudes that God has. You can develop a godly attitude. Now, It stands to reason if you're going to have a godly attitude, you need God to be able to do that. Because if something's going to be godly, it requires God's help to do that. And in order for you and for me to have a home that where there's a godly attitude in that home, you have to be filled with the Spirit. You have to be controlled by God's Spirit. You have to cry out to the Lord, Lord, enable me to do this. See, the scripture says in Ephesians 5, verse 18, do not be drunk with wine wherein is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. And then it goes on to talk about husband and wife relationships and kid relationships in Ephesians 5 and then in Ephesians chapter 6. What does that say? That says you need to be filled with the Spirit in order to do this thing called marriage and family. And God wants to enable you to do it. And so by God's Spirit, you can produce a harmonious atmosphere. The Holy Spirit, when I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, all of a sudden the Holy Spirit is sitting on the throne of my life. He's in charge. And the Holy Spirit can produce a harmonious atmosphere in my life and in my home as Debbie and I both are yielded to the Holy Spirit. To sum up, let all be harmonious, he says. Now, that word harmonious in the Greek, it's a compound word. It literally means to be like-minded. Homo, which means the same, and phron, like-minded, the same mind. And God is saying, hey, if you'll have the same mind, then you can have harmony in your home. If you're playing off the same page of music, then you're going to have harmony in the home. And if Debbie is yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, and I am yielded to the Holy Spirit of God, well, the Holy Spirit doesn't fight with himself. The Holy Spirit gets along with himself, and so there's just going to be harmony in our home when we both want not what self wants, but what the Savior wants, what the Spirit wants. We're yielded to him. It's not a pretty sight to be at a home where there's disharmony. God says, if you will yield to my Spirit, then I can make your home harmonious because your wife wants what the Spirit wants and your husband wants what the Spirit wants and the kids want what the Spirit wants, and it creates a harmonious atmosphere. Secondly, the Holy Spirit, not only does he produce a harmonious atmosphere, but he produces a kind and caring heart. To sum up, let all be harmonious, sympathetic, kind-hearted, brotherly. Wow. Sympathetic, brotherly, and kind-hearted. Three things that talk about kindness and caring. Sympathetic is a word that literally means having a fellow feeling, mutually commiserative. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? What does that mean to be mutually commiserative? It says in Romans chapter 12, rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That's what it means to be sympathetic, to be mutually commiserative. When you're having a bad day, that somebody comes alongside and commiserates with you. You know, guys, especially our wives, it's so hard for us, but when they tell you about their struggles and about their trials and about their hard day and about how the kid, your kids were unruly and they threw up and this and that, she doesn't want you to fix it. She doesn't want your solutions. All she wants is your shoulder. All she wants is your sympathy. All she wants is you to commiserate with her and say, man, that is a hard day. I am so sorry, darling, that you had such a hard day. And for a woman, that makes them feel so good. They're like, ah, he gets it. He understands. And for us, it's like, I didn't do anything. I just told you how bad it was. That, to us, that doesn't fix anything. But to a woman, it's just like, think about a woman. It's kind of like a plant. And she's there, and she's working with the kids all day, especially a stay-at-home mom. And she's just starting to drain. And she's starting to, you know how plants can be if they don't have water. And they're just hungover like this. And then she tells you about her hungover type of situation. And what do? You tell her all the things that she's doing wrong. And she's just even more hungover. But if you sympathize with her, if you commiserate with her, if you're kind and caring, it's like pouring water on a withered plant. All of a sudden, she just feels so much better. Ah, to have in your home kindness and caring. It says to be brotherly, sympathetic, brotherly. You know, the word for brotherly is the word Philadelphos, from which we get our English word, the city, Philadelphia. Philadelphia is the city of brotherly love. And Philadelphos is that brotherly kind of a love, that friendship kind of a love. And then to be kind-hearted, which means you have compassion. You're tender in your heart toward another person, especially toward your mate, especially toward your kids. Compassion means to suffer with, and you suffer with them. Debbie and I are getting ready to do a family life conference in Jacksonville, Florida. And I remember several family life marriage conferences ago, one of the guys was talking that we were doing the conference with, and he was talking about how couples, husbands and wives, they tend to quit being friends. And he said, hey, you know, one of the things that you need to do is you need to rekindle your friendship. Your spouse should be your best friend outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the person that you want to spend time with. It's the person that you want to be with. And he said this about friends. He said, what is a friend? A friend is someone who enjoys your company and does not have a plan for your immediate improvement. You notice that about couples? Married couples, all of a sudden, I want to get together with you. Why? So I can fix you. That's not what a friend does. A friend is just someone who enjoys your company. We need to get to that place where we're friends again, where we enjoy one another's company. And the Holy Spirit can produce that kind of kind, that caring heart, and that kindness and that sympathy and compassion that homes desperately need. And you know the thing about the Holy Spirit, he wants to do all those things, but he only works when you are humble. Because it says lastly in verse 8, a humble spirit, a humble spirit. The Holy Spirit won't work in a proud heart. Because God is opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. God is like a football player, and he lines up in his stance if you're filled with pride. And he's going to knock your block off. He says, listen, I'm opposed to the proud, but I give grace to the humble. And if you want the Lord by his Spirit to be in charge of you so that you would have harmony, so that you would have kindness and compassion and sympathy and those wonderful things, and then you have to humble yourself before the Lord and say, Lord, I can't do this by myself. Lord, you do it through me. You love my spouse. You love my kids. Kids say, Lord, you help me love my parents. Do it through me. You can develop a godly attitude. Second encouragement, not only develop a godly attitude, but you can develop godly communication. This is critical. You know, we drive past homes in nice neighborhoods, and we see this pretty house and this beautiful house and this great house, and we look at it from the outside and we say, oh, just think if you could live there, how wonderful would that be? Maybe not so wonderful. We don't know what goes on behind closed doors. We don't know what is said behind closed doors. Debbie and I watched a movie Friday night called The Foxcatcher. It's about two wrestlers and John DuPont, the multi-millionaire who lived on this huge spread, and everything looked good from the outside, but John DuPont was psycho. And hanging around John DuPont, you were taking your life in your own hands, as one of the wrestlers found out when he shot and killed him. You know, things can look, they can look different from the street than what's really going on. And what we see so often in homes and hear so often in homes, if you go behind closed doors, you hear some of the most horrible communication. Communication that doesn't build up, that doesn't encourage, but that just tears down and is just awful to listen to. Verse 9 says, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For let him who means to love life and see good days, you want to love life and see good days? Then refrain your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking guile, from speaking lies and deceit. It has to do with your mouth. So you have to make some choices. First choice you need to make, I need to make, we need to make. Make the choice to not verbally retaliate. In marriage, make the choice that no matter what my spouse says to me, no matter what my parents say to me, no matter what my child says to me, I am not going to return evil for evil, insult for insult. I am not going to retaliate in kind. And this is how this works in family life. We throw out an insult. And then how does it come back? You know, the natural response when someone insults you is hit them back, get them back, insult them back. But you don't want to insult them back just the same that they insulted you, you want to put a little on it. You want to one-up them. So it would be like this. If Debbie and I are starting to get into a quarrel, I say something to her. I throw a verbal pebble at her. Just a little dig, a little zinger, you know. And I'm just thinking, yeah, that'll stop it. Well, she takes that in her naturalness, not by the power of the Holy Spirit, but just in her naturalness. I threw a pebble at her. So what does she do? She throws a rock back at me. Well, I just got hit with a rock. So what do I do? Oh, you, rock? All right. Well, let me tell you something about your mother. And I throw a boulder at her. And so she's like, my mother, huh? And so she takes the boulder and she pulls out the bazooka. And she's shooting at me with a bazooka. And then all of a sudden, this is what happens in so many marriages. You go from pebble to rock, to rock, to boulder, boulder, to bazooka, to nuclear. And somebody says, I'm going to leave. You keep this up. I'm going to leave. I just get a divorce. And that's, you're playing the trump card. You can't go any higher than that. And she's either going to back down or she's going to bow up. As I told you, one friend of mine, that's how he and his wife got divorced. It went from pebble to rock, rock to boulder, boulder to bazooka, bazooka to nuclear, nuclear to let's go nuclear. And they divorced, all because of something little. So make the choice to not verbally retaliate.
And sometimes that's a tough choice to make. You know, things can heat up and escalate quickly when tempers flare between a husband and a wife. And I hope you can be with us next time for more practical advice from God's Word on how to navigate the waters of marriage and make your home truly home sweet home. That's the title of the lesson today from Pastor Jeff on From His Heart, and it's from his series, Built to Last, How to Build a Successful Marriage and Family, a powerful 6-message series that is our thank you gift for your support this month to From His Heart of $35 or more. Now, with that gift, we'll also send you Pastor Jeff's booklets, Before You Say I Do, for people that are considering marriage, and the booklet, I Still Do, for those who've been married a while but would love to be encouraged. All of these resources will help you start with a solid foundation so that it won't crumble during the ups and downs of life, and they're sure to come. Again, you can make your gift when you call 866-40-BIBLE or go online to fromhisheart.org. Pastor Jeff is a volunteer and a monthly supporter of From His Heart. He receives no income from this ministry, so you know all that you give goes directly to getting these broadcasts on your station and around the world each and every day. Thank you for investing in kingdom work through From His Heart. We're excited about God's kingdom. In fact, Pastor Jeff is making a new trip to the Holy Land. Here he is to tell you more about it.
Pastor Jeff here. March 13th through the 23rd, I'll be leading a trip to the land of Israel, to the Holy Land, to walk where Jesus walked. We're going to spend time in Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, and spend time in Caesarea Philippi, where Peter made the great declaration, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. We'll baptize in the Jordan River. We'll spend time in Jerusalem, the holy city, and walk in the footsteps of Jesus as he went down the Via Dolorosa, the way of suffering, all the way to the cross. We'll have the Lord's Supper at the Garden Tomb. We'll go down south to Masada and to the Dead Sea and spend time at En Gedi, the stronghold where David spent time as he was fleeing from Saul. It truly is going to be a life-changing experience. So I hope you will consider going with me in March of 2018 for the trip of a lifetime.
Again, the trip's going to be March the 13th through the 23rd, and you can find out all the details at fromhisheart.org or call 866-40-BIBLE. Well, thank you for being with us today for From His Heart and the message called Home Sweet Home. You heard part one today. We'll hear part two tomorrow of this inspiring message. Join us on Tuesday, right here on From His Heart. From His Heart is the listener-supported broadcast ministry of Dr. Jeff Shreve, speaking the truth in love to a lost and a hurting world. Remember, no matter what, God loves you, and He has a wonderful plan for your life. Find out about that when you go to fromhisheart.org.